Let me thank you again for having us. Thank you for everything you've already done for us on behalf of Mindy and myself. Thank you so much, John and Vicki especially. Vicki just fed us a feast yesterday. Thank you, Vicki. And I want to thank you ladies ahead of time. I know you've got food prepared down there, and I thank you for that. It's an honor, an undeserved honor, to preach the gospel. For a sinner to preach the gospel is quite an undeserved, unworthy honor, isn't it? And but for you to ask me to come preach here, it's an honor, and I appreciate it. But a double honor, you asked me to preach twice. And a triple honor, I'm the only one preaching. I wish you were preaching with me. I love this man. I love to hear him preach. Turn with me to Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Very, very familiar portion of Scripture. Let's read the first six verses of Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, or wherever the church is, to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places or things in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. The title, the subject of this message is very simply, grace. Grace. Grace describes the gospel. Grace, the gospel is one word, grace. For by grace are you saved. Salvation is in one word, grace. Grace. Grace means a gift. Undeserved, unmerited favor. A gift bestowed, not a gift offered, but a gift conferred or bestowed upon. Undeserved, unmerited sinners. Grace is not an offer of God. Grace is an act of God. Grace is the act of God, the act of Christ, the Spirit of God. Grace is the work of Christ for us, the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Grace, grace. And it's all, verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of His grace. And in chapter 2, verse 7, it says, in the ages to come, He's going to show us the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. These people sang that song, the one who saved us by His grace. That is salvation. It's by the grace of God. Sovereign grace. There is no other kind. As I said, grace is not an offer. It's an act of God, and a sovereign one at that. If you don't deserve something and someone gives it to you, it's their sovereign right, isn't it? Sovereign grace. When you are asked by people what you believe, what your preacher preaches, you almost always say this, don't you? We believe and preach the sovereign grace of God, the sovereign electing mercy, love, and grace of our God in Christ Jesus. That we didn't have anything to do with. It was all according to the good pleasure of His will. A gift bestowed upon His people. Grace. Sovereign grace. Sovereign grace. A gift of life. The gift of life. Brother Doug, I appreciate you praying for me. You said, Lord, give him words of life. Here's a word of life. Grace. We live. We're born of God. It's a gift. A life is not offered, it's given. It's given. Grace, grace. The gift of life, the gift of repentance, the gift of faith, the gift of peace. We don't make peace with God. Jesus Christ made peace for us with God. It's the gift of pardon. You don't deserve pardon. And it's the free, the right, the sovereign right of the one who gives it. We have full, free, sovereign, eternal pardon from our Lord, through Jesus Christ, for all our sin. Salvation, eternal life, it's a gift. It's a gift. This is what John wrote in 1 John 5. This is the record. This is the written word, the record, the covenant of God, written by God in His word, that God hath given to us eternal life. To God's people. He hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Grace, grace. All right, Ephesians 1 begins this way. And this is a description of God's grace all the way through these verses. It begins this way. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. By the will of God. This gospel is by the will of God. Salvation is by the will of God, not the will of man. Look how many times it says this. Look at verse 5. It says, the last line, it's according to the good pleasure of His will. Verse 9. He made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. Verse 11. He worketh all things after the counsel of His will, His own will. James said this, He hath begotten us by His will. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. The gospel started with the will, the purpose of God Almighty. And God's purpose cannot and will not be thwarted or stopped. God says, I've purposed it, I'll bring it to pass. I've spoken it, I'll do it. It's all by the will of God, the sovereign will of God to show mercy. This is His glory, to the praise of the glory of His grace. God, Moses said, show me Your glory. In Exodus 33, what did God say? I will show mercy. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. It all begins with His will, doesn't it? It's all according to His will, His purpose in Christ Jesus. All right, verse 1 says it's to the saints. This grace of God is to the saint, by the will of God, to the saints. Who are saints? Well, they're not made saints by someone in Rome with a fish hat on his head. They're made saints by God in heaven. This sainthood comes from God in heaven. Called to be saints. Called to be saints. Saints, sanctified ones. Sanctified, set apart by God, by His love, by His sovereign electing grace. In Christ. Christ is the elect. They're chosen in Christ. Sanctified, set apart. Set apart by the Spirit of God. Through the gospel of God. Given ears to hear. Given a heart to receive. Given life by the Spirit of God, regenerated by the Spirit of God. To the saints, verse 1, and the faithful in Christ Jesus. You may not think you're faithful, but if I ask you, what is your hope of eternal life? If I ask you, what is all your hope of eternal life? You hope to get to glory someday. You hope to be in heaven someday. You hope that God will receive you. Can you tell me what your hope is? Can you tell it to me in one word? Christ. That means you're full of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is to the faithful, those full of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It also means truth. Truth. Oh, as Paul said, God forbid that I should glory in anything, anyone, anything, save in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. We will not boast of, we will not glory in anything but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Right? That's what it means to be true to Him. That's what it means to be faithful, true to His glory, true to His honor. We dare not share His glory. We dare not. We're faithful in giving Him all the honor and glory. We're not saved by our faithfulness. You know that. We're saved by His. But God has made His people faithful. That's what He called them, didn't He? That's what He called them. You have a faithful pastor. What's He going to do every time he stands up? This is how you know that God sent him. This is how you know he's God's man. And he is faithful to do one thing. Preach Christ. Lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. To the faithful in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. How many times you preach this, John? In Christ Jesus. This is salvation in two words. In Christ Jesus. Salvation is to be found in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul said. Oh, that I might win Christ and be found in Him. In Him. Like those animals on that ark. Salvation was to be found in that ark. Well, how did those animals get in that ark? Of their free will? Huh? Did Noah offer a lion a chance to be saved? None of those animals would have gone on that ark had not Noah went out and called them. Had not God made them willing in the day of His power, right? That's why anybody is in Christ Jesus. In Christ. This whole, all the way down through here is redemption's in Christ, forgiveness is in Him, acceptance is in Him. It's in Christ. Salvation is to be found in Christ. How do you get in Christ? You don't put yourself in Christ. When my daughter was about 4 years old, she was coming home from church one day, and she'd been hearing this so much, in Christ, in Christ. She asked her mother, Mama, she said, how do you get in Christ? I wish more people would ask that. Don't you? We all know, don't we? 1 Corinthians 1:30 says this, of God are you in Christ, who of God is made unto all things. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. It is God that put you in Christ. Here's a good illustration. When you were born, before you were born, you were in your mother's womb, weren't you? Who put you there? Did you put yourself there? Did you decide to be there? Did you accept her as your personal mother? It's absurd. It's laughable. Everybody laughs at that. Well, this is salvation. You're born of God. God the Father. Incorruptible seed by the Spirit of God through the preaching, what I'm doing right now. The world calls foolishness. It's not foolishness to us, is it? It's the wisdom of God and the power of God. This is how He begat us with the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation. Through the preaching of the gospel, the word of God is planted in a heart and life began, all right? And you're put in Christ. From that moment, you're put in Christ. As He is, so are you. Okay? You're accepted in the Beloved. You're loved by God in Christ. All the blessings of God are in Christ. Like that child in the mother's womb. Wherever she goes, he goes. That child goes. Whoever loves her has to love the child. You can't say to the woman, you can come in here, but your baby can't. No, that baby's in Christ. We're accepted in Him. We're loved in Him. Salvation is all by Christ and for Christ's sake. His well-beloved Son. He put a people in Christ for safekeeping. And we're still in Christ. We're still in Christ. Always will be. By grace are you saved. To the faithful in Christ. Verse 2. It's real easy to get stuck on each verse. I want to go down through here. Grace to you. Grace to you, to the saints, to the sanctified ones, to those put in Jesus Christ. Grace to you. See, this is sovereign grace, effectual grace, saving grace, eternal grace to God's people. God doesn't offer grace to everybody. No, sir. He confers it. He gives it to his people. And it's in Christ. All the blessing. And peace from God, our Father. I've already said, and you know this, you know it well. The world doesn't know it. That God, Christ made peace for us by the blood of his cross. We don't make peace with God. He doesn't offer terms of peace and we accept it. No, sir. Christ offered himself without spot, without blemish to God as a burnt offering for our sin, and God accepted the payment, accepted the substitute, accepted the sacrifice. That's why. That's why. Nothing in it, but all in Christ. Peace from God our Father. And more of that in a moment. God is not the Father of everyone, but he's the Father of his people through Jesus Christ. And from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places or things in Jesus Christ. Heavenly spiritual blessing. And he doesn't mention in these verses one material thing. Not one earthly thing is mentioned in these blessings here. They're spiritual blessings, and they're all in Christ. The riches of his grace, it's called. The glory of his grace. Spiritual blessing in heavenly things or places. In chapter 2, it says in verse 6, he's raised his people up from the dead and made them to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right now, you're sitting in one of these heavenly places, aren't you? This is a heavenly place. This is a foretaste of glory divine, isn't it? To sit here. And God is the one who gathers his people like sheep into a fold like this and makes them sit together and do what? Makes them lie down in green pasture and sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and feed on him. What a heavenly place this is. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of wicked. He said, thy loving kindness is better than life. Do you esteem this? As Job said, this is more than my necessary food. In fact, Christ is our food. We feed on him. Is there anything you'd rather do than him? It's Saturday morning. What are you doing here? God gathered you here. The feast on the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be one of his elect. You must be chosen by him. And this is the first thing he says in verse 4. Here it is, electing grace. According as he hath chosen us. Who chose who? He chose us. In Christ. See that? Christ is the elect. Isaiah 42. Behold my servant, mine elect, in whom I delight. The well-beloved, only begotten Son of God, elect of God and precious to him, sent to this earth as a man, as a substitute, as a covenant head, and all of his people are chosen in him. Chosen by God. We didn't choose him. He chose us. Right? It's a good question to ask anybody that wants to argue with you about grace, about election. You ask them then, according to the Scripture. Ask them three questions and tell them to answer you according to Scripture. Did you choose God or did he choose you? Now, this is to people who claim to be Christian. Did you choose God or did he choose you? What's the Scripture say? According as he hath chosen us. Okay. When did he choose you? After you believed? No. Before the foundation of the world. In Romans 9, it says, the children be not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. God chose Jacob before he was born, before he done any good or evil. Is that right? That's what the Scripture says. All right, here's the next question. Why? Why would he choose you? Why would he choose anybody? Well, verse 5 says it's to the good pleasure of his will. Why? Because he did. Do you have sovereign... people love their sovereign right to choose what they will, don't they? And they get mad at you if you say, well, you can't do that. Well, they deny God his free will. Man doesn't have a free will. He didn't have free will. God alone has free will. He does the choosing. He does the choosing. Look at verse 4. It says, according as he hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Oh, my, to be holy and without blame. Man is born a sinner. He comes forth from the womb speaking lies. He's unholy. If left to himself, he will get progressively worse. Man doesn't progressively sanctify himself. He progressively gets worse. That's what happened right before the flood. God saw the whole earth had corrupted his way, full of violence. He said, I've had enough. He's just getting worse and worse. Now, you know it's so. You know it's so. If left to ourselves, Brother John said at the table the other night, he said, we're all by nature devils. And God has to make a new creature, put a new creature in. Well, God did this. He chose a people to be holy and without blame before God in love. How? How can we be holy? How can we be without blame? Unto him that's able to present us faultless before the presence of his glory, only in Christ. I said, I quoted it, of God are you in Christ, who has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, holiness. He is our holiness, isn't it? He is our righteousness. He is our covering. He is our holiness. Our God says in the revelation of some people, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. Didn't it? But of God's people, Christ said this to his disciples. He said, you're clean. And not one of them thought they were. How, Lord? He said, through the word I've spoken unto you. You're clean because I said so. Because I've justified you. Like that, the publican in the temple. He was justified. Because God's, who shall lay anything the charge of God's elect? It is God that justified. But they're made holy by the sacrifice of Christ. Who is he that condemn it? Christ died. Christ died. He made the payment. And he covered us in his righteousness. Look at verse 5. And he did this in love. Verse 4. In love to his people, and to make us love him. And verse 5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Predestinating grace. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? Predestination. I already said election. What do you think about that? Some people hate the sound of it. I had a man I worked with on a railroad, and I started talking to him about the gospel, and I brought up predestination. And he said, he just started turning blue in the face. He said, I believe anything but that. And he did. He believed anything. But predestination... But brothers and sisters, isn't it wonderful that God has predetermined our destiny? Huh? Don't you like that? That he hasn't left us to ourselves? He's purposed all things in Christ Jesus concerning us? That everything he does concerning us is good and working according to this purpose? Nothing bad, no evil shall befall us. It's all good, predestined, predetermined, even down to the hairs on your head. Everything about you, your family, your life, every single thing in your life is in God's hand, predetermined to bring you to himself through Christ. Don't you love that? Predestined to be conformed to his image. All of God's people want to awake with his likeness. Well, God's predestined it, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen. God determined before we were born what every one of his children are going to look like. They're going to look like Christ. Predestination. And it says here in verse 5, he predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Adoption. Anyone in here adopted? Does a child choose its adoptive parents? That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. You don't line the parents up and have the children come out and choose their parents. The parent used to be, years ago, they'd go down to an adoption agency. Seriously, this is what happened years ago. Now you have to go through a lot of red tape and a lot of bureaucracy. But years ago, you'd go to an orphanage and it'd be full of children, full of unwanted, or their parents have died or whatever. And that someone who in love, in mercy, in grace, in goodness, and kindness would say, I want that one. I'll take that one home with me. It's going to be my child. That's adoption in it. That's election in it. That's mercy in it. It's sovereign, isn't it? Years ago, a man and his wife, a man named Leo and his wife named Sally, met with a young woman who was with child that she didn't want or couldn't have or whatever. And they met with her and they made an agreement concerning this child. And then that was in 1955. And in January of 1956, a baby boy was born. And Leo and Sally named that boy David. David Edmondson. And they took that boy home and loved that child, and he loved them for choosing them. Oh, he loved them. Still loves them so dearly. And now that man is a preacher of the gospel in the sovereign providence and mercy of God. My, adopting grace by Jesus Christ. All of God's people have not only been born of God, but they're adopted by God, chosen by Him. From a mess of, you see your calling, brother. You see who chose you? God didn't choose many wise men. That's the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. I'll take that one. That rotten one, that no good one, that black sheep, that's the one I'll take. And we'll make him white. Adopting grace. Verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Accepting grace. Accepting the grace. There's nothing acceptable about us. God doesn't accept us because we're acceptable. Mm-mm. Everything about us is unacceptable, sinful. We're accepted in the beloved. We're accepted for Christ's sake. Everyone that comes to God through Christ, asking to be accepted by God, is accepted for Christ's sake. Years ago, this happened. I'll never forget it. As you know, my brother was killed in Vietnam. The Lord took my brother in 1969, the Vietnam War. Years later, someone knocked on our front door. And my mother, I think, answered. My other brother, somebody answered the door. And there's a haggard looking, a poor looking, a tattered beggar looking fellow standing there, young man. And he said, is Reverend Mahan home? I'd like to speak to him. I said, yeah, okay. I think I answered the door. Yeah, I'll go get him. And I went and got my dad, and he came to the door. And he said to my dad, he said, I really need some, Reverend Mahan, I really need some help. I'm down and out, and I have no food, have no place to stay. And he said, could you help me? And he said, I knew your son, Robbie. I was with him, your son Robbie. I knew him. I saw my dad's whole countenance change. He smiled. He brought that young man in our house, sat him down at the table, and my mom and my dad treated him like their son. Fed him, provided for him. We're accepted in the beloved. And all who come to God by Christ, no matter how ragged, he will accept you. Accept it in the beloved for Christ's sake. And it's all to the praise of the glory of his grace. You see that? He didn't have to. He didn't have to, but he did. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Redeeming grace. We don't have any redeeming quality, do we? Huh? No redeeming qualities. In fact, we've sold ourselves to sin. The story of Hosea, the Lord said, is the story of God's love for his people. He told Hosea, he said, you go down and love a woman of whoredom. She sold herself to sin. She's given her body and herself to sin, to pleasure. And she thinks all those that gave her everything she had was her lovers, people of the world. Not knowing, I did all this for her, God said. I did all for her. Hosea, who's a picture of Christ, go down and love this woman who sold herself to sin as the love of God for his people. And so Hosea did, and Christ did, came down in the fullness of time. What did he do? What did Hosea do? Hosea said, I'll bring her in the wilderness. I will allure her. I'm going to speak peaceably to her. But he had to do more than that. Hosea said, I bought her. I bought her with a price to myself. Paid the price for her. She was on the auction block of sin. And I paid the price for her. And he said, I took her to myself. And I said, you're not going to be for anybody else from now on. You're for me. That's what our Lord did for his people. Redeeming grace. Redeemed with the precious blood of the Lamb. Through his blood. Forgiving grace, verse 7. The forgiveness of sin. Forgiving grace. And forgiving means forgotten. It's not truly forgiven if it's not forgotten. He has forgotten our sin. Why? Because they're no more. They're gone. They're under the blood. Forgiven us for Christ's sake, but put them away by his blood so that it can't be said. He said, the sins and iniquity of his people shall not be found. Forgive and not be brought up. Oh my, forgiving grace. Verse 7, according to the riches of his grace. See that? Verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Abounding grace. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And all wisdom and prudence, making Christ our covenant head, our substitute. Oh, what wisdom of God. Not leaving salvation up to chance or up to man's will, but all up to Christ. And he finished it. He did the work. He is our wisdom. He is the prudent one. Verse 9, he made known unto us the mystery of his will. This is revealing great. The mystery of his will. What is it? People talk about the will of God. Here it is. Here's the will of God. This is the will of God, the purpose in Christ before the world began in everything. Verse 9, according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. I almost preached on Colossians 3:11. Christ is all. Everything. Everything, creation, providence, salvation, everything was for Christ's sake, for his glory. He made this universe, he made this world, he made people and put them in it, all for the glory of his Son. Everything redounds to the glory of his Son. And God made a people predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ for the glory of his Son. And someday they're all going to be gathered together in heaven to sing the praises and the glory of God's only begotten, well-beloved Son. That's what God says of every creature. Give him the glory. This is my Son. This is why I did all this. Give my Son the glory. And all things do. And that's what God's people were predestined to be and do. Give glory to his Son. To the praise of the glory of his grace. He's revealed to us that Christ is all. All the will of God, all the salvation of God, all the adoring love of God is in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 11, and I'm going to quit. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, inheriting grace. having predestinated us according to the purpose of him, gathering grace, inheriting grace. Read on. Let me just read down through verse 14 where it's all one thought. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, sealing grace, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession. And it's all under the praise of his glory. Sealing grace. Sealing grace. Kept by the power of God. When those animals were put, and Noah and his family were put in that ark, They were put in that ark. And the scripture says there was pitch all in the ark, inside the ark and outside the ark. Well, it says God shut him in, doesn't it? God shut Noah and his family and all those animals in that ark, shut the door. Well, you know, if you got to seal the door, don't you? Did it spring a leak? Won't it? Who sealed the outside of that door, Doug? I really believe the people all over that area at that time was watching some fella with a bucket of pitch spread that pitch all over the entrance of that door. I said, who's that? Who's that? Our Lord made many appearances. His delights were with the sons of men, rejoicing in the habitable parts of the earth. Who's that putting that pitch all over that door, sealing that door up? That's the one in whom we're pitched, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he sealed them in there. The wrath, the rain, the judgment of God can't get in, and they can't get out. They don't want out. They're sealed. And we're kept by the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. You keep coming, don't you? You have to. You have to. This is what keeps you. God, you must, because His Spirit, you're led by His Spirit, and His Spirit won't let you go. You keep coming. You see it. So in chapter 2, as I already quoted it, verses 7 and 8 said that in the ages to come, He's going to show us the exceeding riches of His grace, electing grace, predestinating grace, accepting grace, redeeming grace, forgiving grace, superabounding grace, revealing grace, inheriting grace, sealing grace. In the ages to come, the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourself. That's by grace. Salvation's by grace. And it's all to the praise of the glory of His grace. May the Lord bless His word and give glory to that. Amen.
Downstairs after we sing and go ahead and pray after we sing. Go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to bless the food.
Okay.
And we'll go downstairs and have lunch.
Post number 37. How great thou art. Number 37.
Oh Lord, my God.